The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Thumbs up to Emoji Jail. I'm going to start implementing that. I'm stealing that, Chew, I think. It's pretty good.
That's what I want. You're not stealing it. I invented it for people to use.
Oh, wow. Man of the people. Know? Wow. So selfless. You know,
deep thinker.
I don't often like to give you credit. But you're not as dumb as you come off sometimes.
No. Not really. I mean, I'm dumb in certain areas, but
oh, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you're as dumb as you come off. But sometimes
Sometimes
I go, "Wow, that's really well said by Chew," and I think Emoji Jail is one of those things.
Well, I almost invented GPS. I was this close until
I
presented to someone.
And I really wanted to get into the Sports Illustrated article about are the Packers good or fraud, but yep, we could save that. Go ahead. What do you mean? What does that mean?
Joshy's already heard it.
I don't care if Joshy's already heard it. I haven't.
All right.
Neither has much of the audience.
Yeah, but none of you guys are parents, right? A parent's worst fear is to lose their little child in a group, right?
Yeah.
So I went to this guy.
Fair fear.
And GP had just started out. And I said, the worst fear, especially at Disney World, because we'd go to Disney World or Disney, whatever it is, quite a bit. And I'm like, what if we created a wristband that had a GPS chip in it, and the parents had a monitor? And granted, this is 2000, I said, if the parents had a monitor where if the child got separated, they could look at the monitor and see where the child is at. Brilliant. But I didn't have the patent for it or anything, and the guy wound up, I don't know what he did with it.
You essentially invented what? Like the Apple tag, but it's more of a monitor than it is a GPS.
Yes. And this is 25 years ago, right. So this was like brilliant. This was brilliant. This is what happens.
Say you don't know what the guy did with it, do you think he stole your
idea? Well, obviously they have that now.
But GPS was started in 1974.
Yeah, but my GPS was different because it was more on a direct current instead of alternating current.
For the record, Chew, not to put your business on the street. GPS was invented 5 years after you were born.
I don't think so.
You're just debating fact now?
I don't think it was. I just don't believe it. Because it wasn't around. It wasn't used. It wasn't...
Chewy, what year do you think the internet was created?
96, 95...
1983.
The World Wide Web?
1983.
The World Wide Web.
Yeah, the World Wide Web, 1983.
It didn't come into circulation until the 90s.
Okay, so so your argument essentially is if Mark Chmura doesn't have it, it didn't exist.
It's like I didn't invent the car, okay?
But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked
if you
claim that in the next 2 minutes.
My inventions made the car better. It's just someone stole it from me.
Show your work.
Right?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know where the guy is anymore. I, you know what? If you don't believe my story, my buddy who owns Oscars and who owns Taylor's downtown was with me at the meeting. We were going to share the profits. So I will ask him whatever happened to that idea.
The meeting.
So I have a prover.
You realize it coming to somebody with just a general idea without really any of the tech or how it would work doesn't really get you. It's just an idea.
Alex, this is the crap I got to deal with on the show. Instead of saying, "Hey, Chew, that was so smart of you. I never realized that. That was a great idea." Uh-huh. I get torn apart. Every single thing I do, I get picked apart.
But hold on. You're smart enough to see why, though, right?
Not really.
You make it really easy. And this is coming from a guy who is a self-proclaimed idiot. Right? I work with Josh 3 times a week on Mr. Irrelevant, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on YouTube. I make it easy for him. I serve it up on a golden platter for him with some of the crap I say. You realize you make it easy for us to make fun of you.
I don't care. You know, I guarantee they have a system like that out there somewhere. Probably in Disneyland, same thing. You know? Like Tesla. I watched Tesla. Not Elon Musk Tesla. The inventor of alternating
Tesla.
Current, right?
Yeah.
Nikola Tesla. He doesn't get any credit for that. He barely got any money for it. He got screwed. So I am the modern day Nikola Tesla.
That's where we were going. I'm so glad you said it. Josh, can we pull that? Is Chewy the modern day Nikola Tesla? Can we throw that on Twitter, please, at Jen Gabe Chewy?
Yes, we can do that. Also, there's a fundamental flaw in your comparison. Tesla actually created the stuff and made it work. He didn't just say, well, I think this would be a good idea. Like, if I were to just say, you know, I think it would be a good idea if we started to travel at the speed of light and we did it in these little natural pods that made it easier to do, and someone eventually did it, I don't get credited with the invention. I just said something.
Can we move on to the Packers? Are they frauds?
I think that Milwaukee should build more, what do they call those, skywalks, right? Cold weather climates.
Yes. Yeah.
We should have more skywalks.
Like Minneapolis?
Yes, we should have more skywalks all over downtown and make all over downtown Milwaukee accessible. Now, if/when they do that in 20 years, you're saying by the law of Chewy, I get to claim credit for coming up with that idea.
No, because Minneapolis already has it. See, when I came with the invention, no one had it. No, there was no Minneapolis, right? Now, Minneapolis stole my idea 5 years after I came up with it. No, that's fraud. Frauds are not frauds.
Okay. Well, let's do this. 800-990-3776. Text in your greatest invention idea. We'll run it past the modern-day Nikola Tesla and see if it passes the Chewy test. 800-990-3776. Nikola Tesla?
Nikola.
Believe it or not.
It's AI.
Believe it or not, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not a shocker.
You don't know Nikola Tesla?
No, I'm familiar with the name. Can I tell you right now off the top of my head what he's done for us? Probably not.
Well, he tried inventing this Wycliffe, where he thought there were aliens and stuff, and he spent like $100 million. And now that is garbage, right? That was a dumb thing he did.
Here's a fun thing for you.
But it was trumped by alternating current.
Tesla is credited with the invention of the very thing in which people are listening to us right now, the radio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you could say the same thing in Disney. I mean, technically you really could, but they don't. But I'm fine with it. I'm not a Gastineau. I am not a Gastineau. I'm fine with it.
You're getting close to Gastineau territory here.
If you found the guy who stole your invention, would you confront him?
GPS back?
No, because I was too lazy to go get a patent. I should have got a patent, and I didn't. So it's kind of on me.
Patents work.
Can we get the frauds or not frauds, please?
I don't know that I want to right now.
I do. I'll leave, Joshy, and Joshy knows I will leave.
Yeah, you're treading rough territory here.
I am?
Yes, I think what we need to do is do a live read, take a break, and come back and talk about frauds or not frauds.
See, Joshy's smart.
Joshy's calling the shots around here. Uh-oh. We've reached cuckoo territory on a Wednesday
If he
morning.
Says, can we move on, you just got to move on.
I can't get over the fact that...
Stop.
But he can't be this naive. Is that the right word, Chew? You're not naive?
I don't know. I'm not backing down off my position. I can tell you that much because I have a prover.
You created the GPS. Why do you keep saying prover? Say you have proof or you have a witness. A prover.
Because I didn't make this up in my head. He was with me at the meeting 24 years ago.
Look, I'll just put it this way, Chew, and this is in your defense. The poll on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee is 35 votes right now. Did Chewy invent GPS? 51% of people say yes.
Love it. I love the people. I love the people.
And the people love Chew. From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes. No more, no less. Bucks in six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, Bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, he walked away. He really believes he created something special.
Yes.
Is it bad of me to come in here? This is his territory, right? Like, I'm in his domain right now. And tell him he's wrong? Is that rude of me?
I've tried this before. It doesn't work.
You heard this claim before?
3 or 4 times.
And you don't buy it, right? He walked away, so he's not going to hear you.
No. You need actual, like, specs of how something works and a functioning thing to have a patent. You can't just say, I patent that.
I've got an idea. I got a patent.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get one.
Yes, that's not how patents work.
But that's how he believes they work. And you know what? If I've learned anything in the last 5 minutes, I just got to tell him I'm with him.
Uh-huh.
I buy it, Chew. You're right, dude. Damn genius. It's a damn genius. All right, Packers good or frauds? Next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by YouTube, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, little lady, I know you're feeling crazy. Woo! All your other friends are busy making them babies. Been out in the real.
Montana Moe on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. Strophe got Benny Brust and Chewy to get up and leave in back-to-back shows. I'm starting to think it's a me problem.
Why, Benny left?
Yeah, he got pissed off at me yesterday during Kyle Brust and Ortman. And he walked out before the segment was over.
Speaking of another guy who likes to claim inventions.
Oh, that's a good point, Josh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's all the way dumb. I'm not all the way dumb.
Okay, if
50%.
I was just going to say, if Benny's 100% dumb, I was going to ask you to put me and you on the dumb scale. Where do we fall?
Well, being a toad makes you dumb.
Okay.
So there's got to be part of that. I mean, I'm 50% dumb. That's fine.
I'll give you 65, Strophe.
Joshy, where are you?
I'm around 20.
Yeah.
One of the dumbest things I ever did, Alex.
Uh-oh. I have no idea where this is going. This could be literally anything.
And my teammates called me out today because of it. And I forget why I was giving the percentages, but I stood up in front of the team and I'm like, there is a 65-45% chance that we do this.
Yeah.
And they're looking around the room and they're like, hey, Chewy, that's 110.
Sure is.
But I was quick on my feet. I said, I'm all about giving 110, baby. Yeah, that was dumb. That always screws me up, though. And I'm sure I'm not alone. Like, 65-45 sounds like 100.
No, it doesn't. Sounds like 110.
Yeah. No, no. If you do it quickly, it sounds like 100.
I'm trying.
35 doesn't belong there.
Chewy, I know I like to give you a hard time. I'm really trying to get there.
I'm just saying.
65-45 sounds better than 65-35.
Okay, when you phrase it that way, when you phrase it that way.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Why did you go 65, though? Why was it 60 enough?
What were you referring to when that happened?
I have no idea. I don't remember. But they still ride me today when I get together with the guys. They're like, yeah, that's 65-45. So I emoji them.
That would be the middle finger one, I would imagine.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Good choice if you're in emoji jail. All right, over at SportsIllustrated.com, Bill Huber, who covers the Packers, has for a long time, has this article out there. With 9-4 record, are Packers good team or fraud? Reads the headline on SportsIllustrated.com. Essentially dives into the Packers' 9 wins. They've only beat 2 teams with a winning record so far this year. The Los Angeles Rams are 7-6, and the Houston Texans, who are 8-5. The other 4 games they've played against teams with winning records, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Lions twice, obviously make up the Packers' four losses. So let's spell that out for you with even more math. The Packers, the Packers' opponents in which they have beat, their combined record at this point in the season is 49-68, which was not does not add up to 100, a little bit more than 100, too. And the teams they have lost to, a combined record of 46-6. So if you didn't already know it, that spells out that the Packers, well, haven't done very good against good teams so far in this 2024 season. 9-4 is not a record you get to accidentally. But when it comes to the big dogs, specifically the big dogs in your conference, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Lions twice, the Packers have been unable to put up a win. And while it looks like at 9-4, they are in position to be a playoff team and a competitive playoff team, it is still a concerning record against those teams in which have higher seeds than them in the NFC playoff picture. Chewy, I want you to just answer the headline from Bill Huber. At 9-4, are the Green Bay Packers a good team or are they a playoff fraud?
They are a good team. But it stops there. They're a good team. And here's the problem, Alex. You being one of them. Toads always think their teams are better than what they are. Now, I will go the other way, and I'm calling them snapping turtles. Always think you take a bad team. They always think their team is worse than what they are. Then you have a bunch of people in the middle. The problem with the Packers right now, this is the problem. They're like a new puppy. This is how they play. They're like a new puppy, okay? The new puppy pooping in the living room, right? It's pooping, pooping, pooping. You get the puppy to stop pooping in the living room, but the problem is now he's going to pee in the master bedroom. Now he's peeing. So what I mean by that is, like, and I'll start with the offense, because the red zone was a problem earlier. Now the red zone's good, right? They're better in the red zone. They're better in the red zone. But now they suck at third down. Right? The two have to go hand in hand in order to be great. You got to be good on third down, and you got to be good in the red zone. Now, defensively, the pass rush has gotten a little more aggressive. They're better. They're better. But the peeing part of it, they're giving up 27 first downs in a game, and 18 of them are through the air. So in order for them to get to great, they got to have that better pass rush and better on the back end. If they don't get there, then all they're going to be is good. And there's time to fix it, but that's what I'm waiting for. It's got to, in these next couple of weeks, it all has to come together. And we kind of been spinning our wheels now for the last five, six games. It's like you took a little step here, but you're taking a step back there. You can't do that and win a Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
No,
did you like my analogy?
I did. It got a little too poopy for me, but all in all, I actually think it was you landed the plane in terms of your analogy. So I'm with you, Chu. I think they are a good team, and to your point, it seems like they've alleviated some issues as the season has rolled on, right? Like, I remember at the bye week, we were looking at penalties, and you mentioned the red zone. And Jordan Love's interceptions were obviously a major issue prior to the bye week. But since then, it seems like some of those things have been cleaned up. Some of the penalties have still been dumb, more on the defensive side of the ball, it feels, the last few games. But offensively, it seems like those have gotten cleaned up. Jordan Love's interceptions have obviously been cleaned up. He hasn't thrown one in each of the last three games in which the Packers are 2-1. But the drop passes continue to be an issue. I said to you before the show, if I'm an opposing offense going against the Packers, especially come playoff time, if I'm near midfield, I'm going for it on fourth down. The Packers in past weeks, especially in the divisional games, in that Bears game a couple weeks ago and last week against the Lions, they just can't seem to get off the field defensively. So if I'm an opposing offense, I'm just going to go for it, right? So when you have these gaping issues, when you have these very obvious issues that are essentially causing you to lose games or nearly lose games, as is the case in Chicago, you're running out of time in order to fix them. Can you fix them? Yes, but you're running out of time.
Yeah. But you have to understand LaFleur's trepidation to go for it on fourth down. It's like they're not good on third down. What's going to make you think they're good on fourth down?
Right. No, offensively, I'm with you.
You know, and then, yeah. And then you're going for it on fourth down, fourth and five, on the minus 45, and you don't get it, and you're turning. And I'm specifically talking about good teams. I don't care about the Bears. They should, you know, a team like this should beat bad teams, which they do. But when it's fourth and five, and you're on your minus 45 against the Eagles, against, you know, Detroit, against Minnesota, you want to give them that short field? You can't do that. You can't do that. And I'm telling you, and this is all I'm saying, and people, you know, call me a Packer. I don't care. I look at things the way I see them, right? If the playoffs were to start tomorrow, there's no way they're going on the road and beating Tampa Bay, Detroit, Philadelphia, and then getting to the Super Bowl and playing Buffalo or Kansas. That's not happening.
No.
Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah, I would. At least at this point. And maybe my mind can change. And a win on Thursday, too. If they would have won that game on Thursday, oh, boy, you would have hated me today, man. I would have been extra toted up.
No, but, Alex, you can't read the last chapter of a book. You can't read the last chapter of the book. You have to read the whole book. Mm-hmm. You can't watch the last half hour of a movie. And if you look at the team stat sheet, which I've been harping all week, I would think Detroit would have won by 14 points.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
I mean, so that's all I'm saying. I mean, this all has to come together in the next 4 weeks. And there's time. There's time. But they can't be playing ping pong. They can't be playing ping pong like this.
I agree with
you. And I don't want to hear injuries. I don't want to hear injuries because there are teams that are far more beat
shredded,
up.
Shredded, right. The Lions are one of them. The Lions are one of them.
Far more beat
up. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned.
But there's time.
But hold on. Because you said they've got to figure it out in the next 4 weeks. Their schedule is okay, right? Seattle is an interesting game. I'm nervous about this one on Sunday, to be real honest with you. Seattle's hot. They've won four in a row. It's a tough place to play. It's obviously a really hostile environment. New Orleans doesn't scare me at home. Chicago doesn't scare me at Lambeau Field. And obviously that Minnesota game, and Minnesota's really the most interesting one left on the schedule. But the opponents outside of Minnesota, they're not Detroit. They're not Philadelphia. So it's not going to give me the proof I need to see to give me the confidence heading into the postseason. That's the part I'm a little bit concerned about. If they rattle off four straight entering the postseason, sure, I'm feeling better than I do today. But I need to see the proof against one of these contenders, these true contenders like a Philly or a Detroit, and we've run out of opportunity now.
Is New Orleans or Chicago going to do anything for you if they beat both of them by 21? Anything?
New Orleans isn't going to have Derek Carr.
No, right. It's going to be Rattler, right? That's the backup.
It's
going to
mean
Spencer
nothing.
Rattler.
It's going to mean... Well, it's going to be absolutely nothing.
What it could mean and most likely will mean is clinching the actual playoffs and 100% locking in that you will be a participant. But other than that,
now, who cares?
No.
We don't care about playoffs.
No.
We don't care about
that was always the expectation.
I do now, but...
Yeah, you want to obviously get in. And I think this is the first weekend where you can have a potential scenario. But the expectation all season is you are a playoff team. And you are a playoff team that should probably be pushing for the division, which unfortunately they're going to fall short of that.
Right now, what's enough for you? NFC Championship game? Playing well and then losing? Is that good enough for this season?
Yeah, because I do frankly still feel like they're a year away from being a true Super Bowl team now. Could I be proven wrong? Of course. That's why you play the game.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I don't know what they could do the next 4 weeks that makes me go, uh-oh, watch out Detroit, watch out Philly. This team's scolding hot entering the post. I don't know what they could do.
That's an interesting question. If we were to find something, what would it be?
I legitimately don't know.
If I look at that stat sheet, at the end of the day, Alex, and it's balanced, I'll feel good.
Yeah,
there's still time.
If you're winning the turnover battle, if you're winning time of possession, if you're getting more pressure on the opposing quarterback than you've clearly been able to all season, sure. But I think that, and you told me not to use injuries, but this is still one that bothers me, is the Jair one. The Jair situation is still so it's so crucial to me. If they don't have Jair, I just don't know how far they can go.
Well, here's my formula, right? And this is what has to happen to win Super Bowls, that I believe. It's your A players have to play like A players, and your C players have to play like B players. Now, mm-hmm. let me give you their A players, and you tell me if they play like A players. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think he's on the right trajectory. He's cleaned up the interceptions. Really? I think he's
you
been
would
solid.
Give him
yeah.
an A? Yeah,
No, not so.
I'm saying across the board. You would give him an A at the end of the year?
Well, he's got four games to prove it. But yeah, if he continues on the path he's been on the last 3 weeks, yeah, I would give him an A.
All right. Right now, would you give him an A?
No, I wouldn't right now.
Would you give Josh Jacobs?
Yes.
Would you give Jaden Reed?
No.
Would you give
Tucker Kraft gets an A.
Kenny Clark? Would you give Kenny Clark?
No.
Would you give Rashawn Gary?
No.
Would you give Jair Alexander?
Incomplete. I just haven't seen him.
He's incomplete every year.
The last two, yeah.
And then Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, I'd give him an A.
So you got roughly, what, six A players, and two of them are playing like A players.
Yeah, that's not good enough. And that's what we've seen.
Not good enough.
And while I think it is okay to walk away from last Thursday feeling encouraged about the Packers offense, you can't walk away from that game feeling encouraged about the defense. And that's the part where I'm getting hung up, because I just...
But hold on, Alex. Alex, hold on. Answer me this question.
Yes,
you feel
sir.
Good about the offense when they played a defense that's been decimated? And if they played with that defense the entire year, they're probably 22, 23?
Yeah, definitely not about the first half. That first half was ugly. But I thought in the second half, Love did what he needed to. Josh Jacobs did what he needed to. Matt LaFleur did what he needed to in the second half. And that's where I think you could get a sign of encouragement. But yeah, those slow starts are going to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, Philadelphia's defense, I've watched them, and they're good. They're the real deal.
For sure. You know? I'm with you. See, plenty of reaction rolling in on this. The nickname Jair has acquired, I've noticed recently, the Yard Possum texting in. They just need to move on from Jair Bakhtiari. It's a nickname well earned. Hey, college hockey returns to Fiserv Forum with the fourth annual Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off coming up December 28th and 29th at Fiserv Forum. The Wisconsin Badgers return to defend their title facing the Ferris State Bulldogs in semifinal action on day one. That's December 28th. The UConn Huskies and Alaska Fairbanks Nanooks will battle for the other spot in the championship game. You can get your seats today at Ticketmaster.com, or you can get your tickets right now. Let's do, thanks, Joshy. Let's do caller 10 right now, 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. You get four tickets to Saturday, December 28th games at Fiserv. That's day one of the tournament. Caller 10 right now, 800-990-3776. You win four tickets to the fourth annual Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off, December 28th at Fiserv Forum. All you got to do, be caller 10 right now, 800-990-3776.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe, bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jay, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Wednesday. Alex Stroh, the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Chamorro, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you, discussing the idea. We saw the article on Sports Illustrated this morning. Are the Packers good? Are they frauds with a 9-4 record, struggling to beat teams with winning records so far this season? See plenty of interaction rolling in on the text line, 800-990-3776. That I want to get to. Let's start with Mike in Racine, who says, Packers are fine, four games left, and then when you're in the playoffs, the regular season doesn't mean jack. Jack, let's R-E-L-A-X. And I see a lot of that sentiment rolling in, Chew. Essentially, hey, man, just get in and then worry about the playoffs, right? You're 0-0. Everybody's 0-0 at that point, which is true, But we also have seen 17 games worth of work, and we have an idea of what this team is. And at this point, I think we're all in agreement. It's just not quite good enough if they have Lombardi expectations.
Yeah, the path is going to be extremely difficult. Not that it can't be done, but at some point in time, you got to be – well, at some point in time, you'd like to win a game that means something. Like you said, they have – two wins against two teams with winning records. Mm-hmm. What were the Rams?
The Rams are seven and six, and the Texans 8-5.
You beat a 7-6 team and an 8-5 team. Not really blowing my doors off. And I agree with them that there's time, but there comes a point in time where you got to start trending towards. All right, I can see it coming. I can see the tsunami coming 3 miles away. It's getting better and better. It hasn't. It's like you get better here, and then you get worse here. You get better here, you get worse here.
Yeah, hear me out here for a second. The Packers' record amongst all NFL teams pretty much has them exactly where they belong. The teams they've lost to are the teams that are better than them, and the teams they've beat are the teams that are worse. Like, they are, their record literally slots in perfectly with where you would put them, and it is a good indication. And the thing about throwing away the regular season once you're in the playoffs, I can't do that, because if those errors, the drops, the penalties, and all that stuff rear its ugly head again, it is only one game. If you have a bad mistake game, you're going home. So that stuff has to matter in. In fact, we can't just be like, well, all those issues, guess what? Pass rusher's good now. They don't have problems now with holding and offside penalties. Like, those stuff, that stuff just doesn't disappear.
No, it doesn't, but hopefully it can.
It can improve.
It can slowly disappear,
but it takes one bad day for it all to come crashing down again.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I think the big one left, obviously, right, is the Minnesota game on December 29th. If they go to Minnesota at the end of the month and they say, let's say, they win by 10 points. You're going to walk out of that one going, okay, they have shown me some pulse, right? The defense has shown me that they can step up against a team that's been hot, good offense, really good defense, obviously led by Brian Flores. If the Packers can go in on December 29th, win by 10, I think the expectations kick up a notch, right? And look, it's still a long road. What they did in 2010 is not easily repeatable, going on the road three times and punching your ticket. But a win on the road, in a hostile environment, against a good divisional opponent at the end of the month, I think would change the tune for a lot of us. Because keep in mind, we're all in agreement. This is not a fraud team. You don't get the 9-4 on accident. You don't stumble the 9-4.
No.
But they are still a step away from being that championship caliber team we'd like to see.
Yeah, good, not great.
Yeah, exactly.
And they probably could use some confidence, so that will be a big game. And I can speak from experience, right? Because when we got into the playoffs in the early 90s, you know, we'd have a home game. We'd feel good about. And then we'd have to play Dallas every year in the divisional round, right? And you know what our mind said? No one said it out loud. It's one of the things you don't say out loud. But in everyone's mind, it's like, I think we can beat them. I'm not sure. I think we can. That sounded a good mindset going into
it. We've got a 65-45 chance to win this game.
Exactly. That's probably why I said it. You know? But that's your mindset going into it. And that's what it's going to be right now if they play. That would be their mindset going into Philly, going into Detroit. You know, if they go to Tampa Bay, they're like, okay.
Right. We'll take care of business here.
Let's not do anything stupid. We'll take care of business. But you're not going into Philly going, oh, we got him, baby. We got him.
Got to play
your
best.
That's not how it works.
Got to play your best ball. And again, you play the games for a reason. And the Packers are certainly capable of hanging with these teams. Right? We just saw it on Thursday night. They only lost by a field goal to the best team in the NFL. So they're close. I really do think they're close. And I think Ronnie on the text line, 800-990-3776, sums it up pretty well, actually. But notice the word if is used a few times here. If the offense starts clicking, more consistency and limited turnovers. If the defense starts showing a pulse, this has 2010 Packers written all over it. That's the recipe for this team, from Ronnie on the text line, too.
So what would make you feel, from a victory standpoint, what would make you feel good realistically against Seattle?
Well, they're favored by 3. It's a road game. Win by a touchdown, and keep
That's
Seattle.
It?
But keep Seattle low, okay. Right? Like I don't need 35 points from the offense in this one. I need a nice 24-17.
24-10?
24-10, yeah. 24-14. 24-10. Yeah, I feel good about all that. If the defense can slow down Seattle, who again, I remind you, is a good team, right? They're 8-5. They've won 4 in a row.
Yeah,
they're starting
hot.
To hit their stride. If the Packers go in there, win by 10 points, keep them under 17 points, keep them under 20 points, yeah, you walk away from that one going, okay, they can do that again wild card weekend.
What if they lose by 3?
All of a sudden, we are reevaluating what wild card weekend looks like.
Okay.
You don't think they lose, do you? As it stands on Wednesday, I'm not holding you to this. You do think they lose?
No. Yeah, I already put my pick in.
Do you want
just know these games after a big game, tough place to play, team is hot. If you're not up for this game, because the Seahawks are going to be up, right? They're going to be up. They're going to be up because
I get you. They
can win the West. And with a first-year coach, and I don't know how young they are, what is it? Gravy on the mat? I don't know. I'm trying to think of the same.
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy, pal.
Potatoes.
It's good
this
news,
is
Josh.
Because like, coaches sit there and they go like, all right, I think 9-8 for us. You know, they don't tell the players, but we think it's a really good year. And they're at 8-5. They're exceeding expectations. So, you know, they know. I can tell you this. The coaches know. Probably they're not winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. No.
Their Super Bowl is winning their division and maybe winning a playoff game. That is right. Gravy. So that's why if Packers come in and, you know, still licking their chops about the last game and they're young and it's loud and I can't hear and I jump off sides and I drop a ball, I played in games like this.
Right.
You know, played in games like this, and that's the only reason. I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, me too. But I think we're
lost.
I think I don't know if my toad status has gone anywhere, but I think we're in perfect agreement here today, too.
Yeah, you're good. You know what? I'm eyeballing two people. Eyeballing two people.
And they are.
I don't care about my prediction. I'm looking at two people's predictions, and that's it.
And those people are Kyle Wallace and Mark Tauscher?
Yes.
I bet they predict the Packers to win if I had to take a
will
wild
they go
guess.
17-0? Will they go 17-0?
Yeah, Kyle definitely will. Tausch, yeah, he's if he's made it this far.
He's not going to pick him to lose to the Vikings.
Yeah, no, and that's really the only game he would.
All right, okay. I love this stuff. I love it. I love it.
What have you picked them to go?
What did I pick them at the beginning of the year?
No.
11 and whatever.
Your active predictions. Where do you think you're at as it stands right now? You're giving Tausch a hard time. You're giving Kyle a hard time. You're giving me a hard time.
I said 11-6, Josh.
He was saying weekly when you reply to Maddie. The thing is, sometimes you can't really take them for real because sometimes he gives a 3-2 loss or a 3-2 win.
Quite often, actually.
Or a 70-2.
70-2, I think I saw at one point.
Like, I won, Strody. I won one week saying 3-2. I won the pool.
Wow.
Because you cannot just read the last chapter. You have to read the whole book.
He's claimed victory.
So you look at the box score and you sit there and go, that felt like a 3-2 win. Uh-huh. It felt like a 3-2 win.
Maddie did not give you a win for last week, just so you know.
Which is Bush. Which is total Bush.
Yeah.
Total. I got the 34. I got the 34, and I was almost there with the 27.
Yeah, but Ben was closer.
Yeah, but he didn't have 34. He was light.
Okay.
He was light.
We're done here. We're done here. Tune into the Thanasis show every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokounmpo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis to chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find Thanasis show on Apple, Spotify, anywhere else you get your podcast, and on YouTube, just search Thanasis show. Thanasis show is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. We'll wrap it up after this. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jen Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Irma?
The last 2 weeks.
Are
you guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Wrapping up the Wednesday edition of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on ESPN Milwaukee. Alex Strode, I think, is what we've landed on. Strode.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Chmura, Joshy DiMaggio with you. Chewy, you'll be happy to learn, unlike Josh DiMaggio, I'm going to a concert tonight, and I will be here tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'm not taking the day off. It's not a cover band. And I will be here for you. I'm not going to abandon you like Joshy did a week ago.
See, here's the thing, Chewy. I take off because I know I'd be a pile of crap. Strody's just going to come in here and make us do all the work while being a pile of crap, but getting the point of, well, I was here anyways.
Josh, did you just say make us do all the work?
Me.
Yeah. That was your fatal
error.
I was trying
to include you in there just to give you some bonus points.
I know. Who are you going to see?
I'm going to see Cage the Elephant.
Is that the Sisters of Rage Against the Machine?
No.
Cage the Elephant.
Yeah, Cage the Elephant.
Is it a children's concert?
It is not. I'm actually slightly offended you would even think that's what I would be doing on my Wednesday night.
Cage, I don't know if you're going with a niece or whatever, but Cage the Elephant. I've literally never heard of Cage the Elephant.
I think you have, but it might just be a blind spot.
You're not missing much, Chew.
I disagree, but Joshy likes to crap on my music taste. So we'll see what shape we're in tomorrow. The three of us will run it back tomorrow morning beginning at 7 a.m. Will the Intouch coming up next right here on ESPN Wisconsin.